Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about a current high-level strategic analysis. Now, there's a strategic situation that I'm in, but there's a number of people who are in sort of parallel situations. So let's go off talking about my friend who's not in combat, but is trying to survive his interaction with a group called Tennis Australia. So this is a large group of people who are thinking in a corporate manner and about taking over and empowering themselves with sort of linking up tennis, getting corporate structures in, such the money flows from the clubs up to the top and stays up the top, and then deals and all the types of things happen along. And so there's different associations which want to exist separately, and it's very sort of tough and difficult as there's sort of the strategy going forward is always surprising, or this person finds it, my friend finds it surprising, that when he sets up on a strategic scenario or a meeting or something like that, it winds up with the key people being bought out and crossed over and operating at a fundamentally different strategic framework. And what I'm going to try and do is try and capture some of the ideas behind that. Now, in my situation, there's a sort of a strange situation. So, a school, 70 staff, 20 have been bullied and left. And myself, I think there's... I once had a stroke. I've had a stroke and heart operation. Someone else is on leave with high blood pressure. And there's a general, with so much activity going on, you'd actually get a fair amount of intelligence data about what's going on. And although it sounds different, there is a similar idea of moving in and getting your people in place and moving out other people that you don't want, people who are not aligned to with what you're thinking. And quite surprisingly, just talking in that area, you get surprised that certain things don't function. Like there's a government organisation, and you should be able to just put up your hand and say, look, there's a problem, can come and have a look at it. And that doesn't happen because it's all been sewn up, because the actual strategies employed is a broader strategy. And so... with a surprising number of people, you would think the unions would be involved, but piece by piece it emerges and know that they can't be involved, because there's what's operating is a thinking strategy in both cases, in which people can't actually move and think out, and then it is easier for them to actually go along with the dominant force. So let's try and sort of capture that idea of what the dominant force is, and going forward, and what the strategy style of that force is. It's not necessarily what the strategy they employ, but the strategy style of what they think. Now, one of the things that is become relatively easy to observe, you're sort of tricked by it at the first off, is the number of false statements coming out. So you say, oh, look, how do you actually detect what's a false statement in either case? And what's true is that it's not detecting a false statement, it's actually detecting a true statement, something which is actually true, which is set up. So that's a bit of an eye-opener. And I suppose there's sort of a giveaway in terms of the time for responses, or the actual response for whether people actually do respond to you, or if it's there. Sort of gives away the structure, or if they do take something, they actually, which would be risky say an activity of making a false statement or saying something that's untrue, it would be risky if they didn't know already that they wouldn't be caught, that they're actually sort of signalling sort of the as a sort of an X-ray detection of the length and breadth of what they believe is the actual buy-in to this overall policy. So I just wanted to actually pick three strategy modes and go through, and we'll talk about the third strategy as it comes along. I'm speaking exceptionally well. I'm extremely pleased as I've gone in for a hard days of rehab, as I'm sort of getting back up to scratch. But let's go back into it. So you've got these people who actively engage in a sort of concrete external strategy. So you've got the naturally occurring, I suppose, meritocracy, plain, naive world. And these people go out and they tweak it. And it's sort of like you're playing a sport and someone, I suppose ball tampering might be one example, but they might make the wickets large or anything like that in the background. They actually see the game and actually make a fairly crude calculation of what they can do and then invest in efforts to coerce people around, the umpires and everyone around, to wave through anything slightly corrupt that they're doing. And of course, what eventually this means is that if someone doesn't play along with the acquiescing to the corruption or ball tampering, something like that, they put an increasingly amount of effort to push that particular person out. So if the person doesn't accept dishonest, cheating, whatever it is, play, that the person most likely to cause them problems strategically long run gets the most, the umpire saying, well, no, you're out, no, you've got to follow the umpire's rule and stuff like that. And so in my case, it's been rather fortunate that this has pushed me in the way of cardiac surgeons and various people to actually sort of patch me up, put me back together, put me in the right direction. Now, there's another thing which I suppose is not something that someone who's in the right direction, going in the right direction, or fundamentally honest, if they've if they're fundamentally honest and then they've been bullied and pushed around, unless they're really, really weird, that's not a way to make a honest person dishonest or acquiesce to dishonesty by actually pushing them around. They'll say, no, I can't be bothered. I'll just be a little bit dishonest. So there's an actual fact, a strategy which over the long term can't work, and that's where you decide to push people around, because it actually doesn't actually, you can actually move honest people out and move dishonest people in, but you can't actually convert an honest person by bullying and pushing them around. I'm just breathing or something at the top of this hill, but I'm doing much better than I have been doing previously. That's what I call, I have to, in my head, mathematically, I've got that as -1 strategy, a negative strategy, and it involves poor intelligence, local area control, and shaping the reality. And so, as you see, it's not so much the lies or not going via the actual documentation or policy which is the problem. It's the idea that they feel a need to do this, and the need multiplies. So once they've got something and done something incorrectly, if it's exposed, they have to invest more and more time. So eventually they're actually not doing their work, but in focusing entirely all their efforts creating a more and more fantastical set of, deceptions to try and keep things going. And as they invest, they get angrier and the attacks get more and more strong, and eventually they feel this justification to step up the attacks, and when they get information saying, oh look, I'm actually harming people by doing this, they actually can't process it. I'm not saying that it's, I mean, obviously I think it's morally wrong, but it's also symptomatic of panic. You know, if you seek to harm people, you've lost control and you're panicking. And so this comes along that the actual, I suppose, doing something wrong and corrupt and knowing that you're not going to be caught actually tells people who are also not on board. And so if you do something wrong and you know that it could be reported to the director or beyond, and say you do report it to the director and beyond and nothing happens, you know that the extent of corruption is going further and further out. But the sort of the major negative one aspect of it is this external view that you can interact with the situation. You can either and it's seeking to actually well, it's hard to say. No one can actually manipulate the facts, but you can actually manipulate the number of honest and dishonest people, the number of people that you buy out. So you can look at a team of people and say, well, if I want to move in a way which is not sort of related to mutual outcome, I can look at the weakest member of the team, the person who's going to acquiesce the most, and actually push them and try and get them to actually go ahead. And you can destabilize any group of people by actually slowly turning the weaker people away. Now, of course, as I said before, this doesn't necessarily always work. Say, in my case, I crumbled too quickly and had time off, doctors fixed me up, and I've begun to rebuild ever so slowly. So it doesn't work in that sense, that it's not like a proper tyrannical situation where you can actually go out and shoot people and create show trials. Although this sort of thing happens, I should well imagine a totalitarian state would operate similar to this, but this is a very minus one aspect of it. And what I'm really trying to say is that these people go out and try and change reality, or the perception of reality, i.e. they extend their efforts in social engineering, and in a sense that although they attempt to evolve the situation, they actually evolve themselves. So actually by working against people with integrity, it doesn't work. They try and push them away. So that takes a certain amount of energy. They wind up having a whole lot of people of low integrity around them working. And those people aren't necessarily the most sophisticated strategic thinking. So it's almost like they're pushing themselves off in a boat. They're pushing hard for themselves. So now obviously minus one, zero is your natural person who is not thinking politically, just thinks in terms of the rules and going along playing with no assumptions. And why I began to categorize people as zero grade people. To an extent, I suppose it never came in quite at zero grade because of external training I've had in business and in other areas. Yeah, I suppose in military areas. But so I haven't come in to just realizing that the rules will be automatically played. In fact, particularly in military training, you'd go and study military law and sort of review and train for the fact that people under certain circumstances would want to deviate or from it, or that people that you were fighting against would have a system, and that would be a deviant system which would pose a threat to you or an opportunity for you. Just to give an example, for instance, you may have a highly attractive item put out for you. If you're not poorly trained, you'd pick it up. If you're not, as you are more trained, you see the item is probably planted there, and then you'd observe it to see who's planting it and who's checking it. It's sort of like that counterintelligence method to it. So if you've come in trained, you come in with just the slightest move forward. And look, I think the majority of people are zero state things. They come in, they just want to do their work, they just want to get home, they want to fulfill their life as normal. So if they're a teacher, they want to enrich children. That's fundamentally the aspect of it. They don't want to grandstand or do anything else complicated. They don't particularly want to get involved in politics. And so this is the tragic time, is that these people, where you can actually work out fairly quickly that the union is going to be ineffective, where you put a notice to them, say, this is it. Say, I've been assaulted, or, well, in my case, yeah, I've had a few things thrown at me and stuff like that. What are you going to do? Not necessarily. Oh, look, I've been recorded while I'm at an interview. Yeah, without my knowledge. Oh, no, look, we can't do all that much. Oh, no. We can't do anything. No. You say, oh, well, these guys at this level aren't switched on, but as we look at this, the broader strategic situation, there may be a situation for them to be retrained, reoriented to come in. It's sort of like, I suppose you're in a military situation and the civilians are either side. You just can't be upset with them. You just have to accept that's what they're doing. Or you might have a, might be operating in your support is from a different country's artillery or whatever it is, and they're just not going to operate the way that you want. There's pointless getting sort of getting upset, etc. So this is pretty much like the unions that are there, but they're ineffective, and not ineffective just because they made an assessment of me. They've been ineffective for all the 20 or so staff who've been bullied and pushed out. But let's go a step further. So if you've got minus one, zero, there's actually plus one. And that's where you propose to do things, talk to people, and see their response to get information about them and yourself and what you want to do forward. So this is rather than actually go out and change a rule, you propose an idea and you see the, in my case, the lack of reaction to it. And I see this as more as a, say, intelligence or something like that. You will do a patrol for a certain area and see what the enemy does, or how the populace respond to it. So if you're going through a sensitive area, they'll respond in a slightly different way. So in this case, there's a series of proposals which aren't necessarily going forward, but they actually tell you a hell of a lot of information. In general,
the sort of fundamental stimulus and lack of response, or very strong response, is to any innovation. And so I will talk about. So I've just done the strategy, the minus one, which we're not doing, and we're trying to outmaneuver or out sort of cut down the actual lifeblood to that minus one thing, which is in order to operate on minus one, they require detailed information about you to construct an artificial world around you. So if you can actually not stop from getting the detailed information, but just say, look, you have to get the information from our doctors or things like that. You have to get through official channels and apply the official rules. Yeah, so I can't help you very much. You can have you tried the official channels. So you can actually slow it down. You can't really stop it. It's just because of it, the structure becomes a little bit more more desperate. And so some of the situation, it looks more desperate, but it's I suppose I can't quite describe what it's like. That's something to worry about. But to go forward, we've got to look at proposals and see how they go. Now, what's for me an intensely interesting thing is this. So we're going to. So we're talking about plus one, and we're talking about the proposals and actually figuring out the key way forward. So the fundamental thing is that a proposal which is stupid, it's got no merit for it, it's not actually worthwhile, is a stupid proposal and shouldn't be put forward. So essentially the set of proposals we have to look at are fundamentally high value, and they're not going forward for a number of reasons, but the reasons aren't to do with the actual proposal itself, because it appears intrinsically high value. So the first one I'm going to go on, the first proposal, and there's a few people have looked at it. Now, also in the plus one, sorry, there's the ability for, I suppose it's not external to their policies, external to the, as far as the world is concerned, external to the system, this is personal innovation that can come in. So from the person it appears very integral, but from the external system it sounds like an external thing. Oh, I haven't thought of that, that's not part of the scene. So we'll talk about the first primary innovation, which is these corrugated numbers, or the new app language. Now, suffice it to say, there's a new form of mathematics, a sort of quasi-mathematics, which allows you to structure data sort of almost straight from a database into a mobile phone app. So this is very, very powerful. Now, you may say, well, it's hard to say. If you say you don't like it, join the crowd. I'd say a typical minus one thing is to actually look away from the screen, change the topic of conversation, and move the conversation on, or just simply not allow the new idea to be presented. Now, if it was a really bad new idea, you would let it be presented and you get over it really quickly. But in this sort of minus one world, the idea is to contain it, to ensure that no one gets to see it. I would say, would you like to see this new form of maths? Here it's here, and people would look to the side of the computer screen and not see it's there. It's not only the actual people in the pure minus one world. There are people in a sort of their standard world won't necessarily accept that there's new mathematics. So if I in an email, sent two emails to two very similar people. In one email, I same content, but exactly the same content and the reference to a new form of mathematics, a new innovation, I won't get a response by anyone to that one with the new innovation. That's just a fact of life. So if I correspond to even quite close friends, and until they're acclimatized, if I mention any type of new innovation, you won't get a positive response. Now, that may well be the actual society we live in, which is conservative. There's nothing necessarily. These people are just normal zero people. They're not minus one type operating people. And so we know in advance that there's a big hurdle to get across. And it's sort of hard to believe that someone who's sort of outside the transaction zone, community transaction zone, you can actually come up with this. But for me, well, what's happened is that I've said, oh, well, look at this. These are the axioms. This is the fundamental aspects. These are the problems. And then month after month, solve one problem after the other, and actually come up with a mobile phone app. And then, rather than having to present it and sell it, I've actually got it up and running. And so this mobile phone app is now coming up and meeting sort of like an advance. It's meeting the thrust forward. So what I'm doing is I'm rehabilitating and podcasting and making sure that I can produce a podcast per lesson with a large international audience listening in. So this will actually solidify what I'm doing. And then to back that up, I've rote learning the periodic table, or rote learning, not rote learning, but, you know, learning properly amino acids, the whole genetics up to the highest standard that I can possibly achieve. And then I will learn the entire teacher's standard, work right through, and integrate it in a final package at the end, which should be able to withstand, you would think, normal investigation. The idea is, this is opposite to, in the minus one strategy, I haven't had any training or any money spent on me in terms of teacher development for 5 years. And so therefore, I can sort of lose faith, lose confidence, and say, oh look, I'm beaten. I just didn't have the tradable, commodity trades of, nudge and wink. I'll do something for you if you do something for me. That's sort of the way that things operate. I've been cut out of that. Well, if at all possible, since I've been reconstructed and I've slowly reached milestone after milestone, can I reach this milestone? And I don't know whether I can, but it's a stretch milestone which you would have as a target then. So getting back to this software, I can't believe I'm talking so well. I can hear my voice being a bit different as I'm clicking up. And look, there's all these cognitive things that are improving. My eyesight's improving, my hearing's improving. I'm actually being able to dream a bit more now that my brain's getting back into bits and pieces. We're talking about this advanced maths. And as the maths goes out and you present it here, you get information not about the maths, because the maths is self-evidently true. Of course, you build software which puts it together. And you get about information about the people and their connection. So I think the best I've had is a Professor Simon Fleming. He said very curious, very interesting. He was able to interact with it. There are people, children automatically interact with it, play with it, can do, go off and just play with it. It is interesting that the child who doesn't have the inhibitions
is more able than an adult who says, well, I can't let this succeed. I can't actually interact with it. I can't actually press the button. I don't understand to take it away. And so you don't take it offensively. You say, well, that's one example. You know, like I'm actually experimenting on the people. But that being said, coming forward and moving forward, what I've been doing is actually getting the actual podcasts to start just producing this data. It's making a lot of sound out here. I don't know how safe it's going to be to continue walking. Podcast produces data stuff, and it's taken me a while to actually let the data, the essence of the data, be pulled across into a sorting bin and allow Freetrex retrieval to look through all the podcasts. So I'm producing, say, it will be 30 or it'll be close on 40, 37 podcasts on this Japanese general, and 7 podcasts for a new scientist. The reason is that you want to, I think Cosmos magazine takes 5 podcasts to get through. Now, the reason you, there's multiple reasons. The push and recovery to keep the rehab up is one aspect, but also produce sufficient podcasts that you have the problem that you think you can solve. And so each podcast produces a data stream. That data stream is put into a table. The table is filtered to create successively smaller tables. And then those tables are simply read and converted into the information in the database, which is used to construct the app. And we're just across that line. I thought it would take months to get across, and I was about to go up taking a bit more cautious, saying, sort of whether I should build a data structure, intermediate data structure, which can store things without losing it. But I realized that as I pushed the basic data out to the app, that is a database, and so I can just safely store the metadata of the podcast in the app, and that's the end of the story. And worst comes to worst, if my computer goes down, the app's stored on the internet, it's got an image on the internet, I can actually pull it off and push ahead. I still have to go ahead. I'm a bit nervous now because I've only got one computer. And this one computer, as the apps grow, it takes longer and longer to write, to publish an app. So at the moment, it thinks if I've got an app with 100 icons or options in it, that takes a good 20 minutes to process. Now, at some stage, I've got to go back in and see if I can cut down the loop. I haven't really looked into the loop of how it's doing. So for each page, so that produces 100 pages, a website. So the community produces a website with 100 pages, a page for each button. So as you press a button, it refreshes, takes you to a new page where you press that button, but the alternate buttons come down. And so there's a, it goes up as the square or the cube, I think, of the number of buttons. So, if I have 200, it's going to take 8 times as long. And so that's something that you want to do. So if you can knock that in the head with a big computer, or multiple computers, there's no reason why you can't divvy up the task among multiple computers to have a look at them. And so I'm sort of used to that sort of architecture to go ahead. But the bottom line is that these apps are now reading, are being fed by the podcasts just around. And so it's taken me a while, it's taken me a couple of days to work out the actual intermediary pot. So I have these podcasts. I don't know what I'm going to podcast next. I keep on podcasting it. what is the style of podcasting. So I now have a general thing that the tile, which has got three letters spaced in it, similar to the periodic table, it's got three letters. It's got three letters space in it. It will take the first letter and the episode number and just put it together in these tiles. It took me a little while to work out a draft and publishing thing. So you look at the draft, when you're happy with the draft, you select publish. I still haven't done that. But the bottom line is that this app is about to get going and move forward, despite people. So I've actually moved it forward in the harsh Australian environment, where you've got an app which is, could be fantastically useful for marketing and all this type of stuff. The people looking at it, there's a few people who are positive with it, but there's actually no one to actually take it, because the administration and everything is all taken by minus one type people. It doesn't mean that you should give up and not try to go forward. It just means that if you give enough time. Now, for me, I was not going to be here. Or a few months ago, I was in a really poor conditions, but I've come back, and the situation is that I can achieve it and do it. Now, I suppose one of the other aspects of it is that I'm not necessarily one of the things where you're really uncomfortable in minus one, if you can think or operate on several levels at once, you can realize you have a problem and just incubate it, and will solve itself in a couple of days of just being. Whereas people who are on minus one level are very one-dimensional. They can only think of one way of solving a problem, because they've committed themselves with all these falsehoods around the place, so they're actually stuck in their strategic space. They've actually put themselves on the strategy board and can't think around it. They've actually made themselves the chess piece, and therefore can't really move around the chessboard. So that's one aspect going forward. And I know my cousin and various people are quite supportive of how you go ahead. Now I want to cover up a few general ideas, which the feedback is more by the fact that they're not working, and people aren't really interested in it. Now, one of the key things is that one of the things that the people can't see is the impact of their lying and deception, and what it has in terms of real human costs. It's not seeing the cost of the negativity going forward, and it's almost as if creating a positive influence expands the negative costs in their perception. So if they're doing it is costly, and someone's doing something properly, they're expanding the negativeness of themselves in this complicated way. Now, one of the things I want to talk about is a cardiac rehab and a structure to go forward, thinking in this positive way, thinking ahead. Now, so there's sort of two aspects to cardiac rehab. One is the ability for cardiac rehab, you have an individual, and that individual needs voice coaching as they are working at different levels for different things. So in my case, because I had the valve and it was hard breathing, I had hunched over trying to breathe, and so my entire stance, I had to really work on the stance of it. Once the valve was repaired, I no longer had to hunch over, and I had to be taught to stand up straight again. It's hard to imagine all this coming up. And so there's that. There's other things going ahead. So there is the opportunity
to create bespoke computer-assisted programs. And indeed, there is such a thing being promoted within the hospital situation that I was at. Now, this is a little person was sitting on the laptop, say, you need to do this, this, and this, and that will print an individualized program. Now, what I want to do is probably go one or two steps better. Now, I'll describe what one or two steps better is, and then we'll go back and have a look at the actual plus one information you get, not from the idea itself, but from how the idea is handled. And so the plus one is that obviously I can now stitch together audio on command. So I pick the audio files up, put them together, and I now have the FMPEG software. So it's really trivial to convert a profile of the person to an individualized a workout. So they can hear, they can actually just put their, I think it's iPod or your iPhone, and listen to your individualized workout. Now, that's step one. Step two is now that you have individualized workout giving input, you can now, therefore, intelligently interpret the output. So if you can, with a Fitbit, can put these two together, you can actually do heaps. You can actually see not necessarily compliance, but the effect of doing an exercise and change and modify the exercises due to real data, rather than actually relying on... and you can easily do it. Now, this is even more important if you're actually moving up ahead with this telephone support going forward to actually help people get fit, because now you have individualized support, you can actually build this all together. So this is a very great way. People are spending a lot of money on fitness, but if they can actually modify it for themselves and age and weight and stuff like that and monitor, and it creates a full data image. It seems a very worthwhile idea. Now, the interesting thing is that as I communicated to these very, very good people, these are not minus one people. These are just zero people. They say, no, that this is the system that we are trying to push here, this printout system. And get through it. Now, I don't have the full answer, but the actual society or the structure is that this is not going forward. Now, I would say, I would point out to them, I said, oh, look, here I've got, I've read this stuff, and there are now these spelling mistakes here and a grammar mistake here. It could be nothing to be done, it can't be fixed up. That's the way it is. And there are two aspects coming forward. Now, that's not to say that Andrew and another person, people out there, can't pick this up. The information is that it's not necessarily going forward, and we don't know why. So here we've got this dramatic minus one, where you can't go forward because it would be disastrous. But now we're in a zero space. You can't go forward. Why? You know, it's... I seriously don't know. But this is the entire plus one, is that you're not pushing it or changing it. You're interpreting people's behaviour to work out how it can be solved. And I think, as just speaking to Andrew, this is what he was trying to say in a different way. So let's call that idea of the podomation or pod domination. So it's podomation or pod domination being converted across into other fields. You're ready to go. So I've written the software. It's just a matter of saying, yes,
I want to do it. And working with exercise physiologists, I'm sure there's someone out there who can do it. But let's not push it. Let's not invest in too much of it, because wait, there's more. Now, as you can imagine, the people, the government is paying for these services. Perhaps it's actually worthwhile. This entire idea of modern capitalism is to take an innovation as a asset and surround it with capital to move it forward. You would think that, and the way that this is put forward is not that what you're doing is bad, it just, it could be so much better if we did this, and we can actually divvy up the rewards, the spoils from improving it. So this is one aspect of capitalism. So another thing which is sort of a major thing, and this is the idea of accentuating the positive makes the negative far worse. So coming out of cardiac, going through the cardiac first time through, there was, it sort of felt like a third of the people said, look, I'm not going to do any rehab, I've had enough. I've just got to this hospital, I've just had a heart operation, I'm just going to cruise from here on. Whereas I thought, to myself after the first one, sort of like a sequence of life and death situations in terms of this life and death situation and operation. And then what was waiting for me outside was that I had to either, I wouldn't survive if I was wounded. I'd be picked off. I'd have to go as hard and as strong as I could possibly go. And so I just threw myself into rehabilitation. So I just sort of noted in the back of my head, hey, there's third of the people not doing it. Second time around, I was an absolute convert to rehabilitation because I've seen it having such a fantastic effect. And of course, as you can see, I've really thrown myself into it this time as well. But going forward, again, a full half the people weren't going to go. And I was sort of tallying this up. Look, you're looking at $200,000, $250,000 in some of these heart operations. And what are you going to do? You're going to either continue smoking, or you're going to, you're just not going to do exercise whatsoever. What's going on here? And I listen to these people. And again, you plus one, you listen, you take in, your innovation needs to be packed with innovation around it. So innovation's there, but it's got to be innovated around it. So you listen to them, and there's no none of the actual structures for how we sell cars, sell products, or any of the, our culture has actually seeped through into this, and this is a largely academic, alienating process for these people. I'm not saying it is, but for these people, saw it as an academic and alienating, and what there has to be a way of going ahead. And I came up with this. I don't know how I came up with this idea. This is from seeing people from other countries up there who are part of the Australian government funds these other people from other countries just to come in, come have a heart surgery. See what it's like, get back into your village or whatever it is. But it's not like that. I'm sure there's treaties with other countries. So the idea is this, that you have a goal set to you, and if you do achieve it in your rehab, and so this is like when you first have your heart operation, it's, you know, if you can walk down the corridor, something like that. These small things, or breathe, or cough, or get your little lung capacity up. I can't believe it. Wow. Sorry. If you can do these little things. Now, the thing is that if these people who've had enough, there is really nothing to talk to them about. They've lost the caravan. They've lost this. They're in a state of grief and shock. Why don't you actually say, if you go here, if you do this, this prize will release this money for cardiac rehab for people in other countries to do. They actually pay for cardiac rehab people and cardiac care in other countries. Now, what that means is that you can actually ask people in Australia to fund a double gift. That is a gift to another country, which I'm sure they do. And look, Australia's quite generous. I think we dug in deep for the tsunami and various earthquakes and stuff like that. But it's structured in such a way that you provide money incentive for other people to do things to let through. Now, you may say this is stupid. But it may not be stupid. One of the things is there are organisations sitting around for which this could perhaps work. Now, one of the things that I'm getting to really understand is the returned servicemen or ex-servicemen or ex-military league or club society within Australia. And this could be something that they could support. I don't know. I don't have the full set of situations. The important thing is that so far the response to that's a very good idea. I don't know how to do it. It can't be done. There's no way that I can see it's been done. So what this is doing to me is it's sort of filling up the actual. The benefit of proposing the idea is to examine the problem and ask the problem of not who's at fault, but how did we get here? In order, it's an actual response to you want to go there. Well, then the next conversation, if you don't want to ask that, is how do we get here? And how do we get here is a far more analytical, a parallel viewpoint. To go through, and the solution may come forward to actually get the way through. So that's one aspect of it. And so the general thought is how this can go. Now, a parallel thing to this is this. I'll just go through. There's sort of any number of fundamental ideas, but what I want to do in this episode is talk about ideas that haven't made it. So ideas like the app. It's mathematically true. It works. Okay, so I'm probably the 1%, the one in 7 billion who says, I like going with the majority, but in this case, being a scientist is about science and not going with the majority. Yeah, that's what the scientist is. There's that. There's the ability to personalise and integrate rehabilitation there. There's this idea of structuring rehabilitation targets in a way which has got this fuss and complication with it, which will fascinate people and draw them out. It's got more handles that they can relate to. I'm a member of this. I'm interested in that country. I'm interested in others' empathy and stuff like that. And your empathy can actually drive other people's empathy with you. It's not this confrontational empathy. Now, what I want to talk about is another wild child idea, which is called petucation. And that is, if you're again looking at children that have a relationship with their pets, and that is just to create sort of a Harry Potter world, but a pet world. So there's a Harry Potter world with the Ministry of Magic, the Ministry of Petrification, and a pet or an animal who's ahead of it. And the sort of fundamental thinking I'm having is that I'm looking at the education system and it's overrun with minus ones. Everyone you speak to basically is my, so look, I haven't, I've sort of counted a few zeros early on, no real plus ones, and it's wall to wall, people who are fostering a complicated series of misconceptions which is sort of holding themselves and the rest of the country backwards. But, and it's not going to fight through. It will self-destruct of its own accord. There's nothing much I can do about it. But I can reinvent everything on, people will want to join Hogwarts. They could. Petrification is a sort of similar thing, but it allows a fluid interaction with individuals which can be transported up. So if you've got your pet, you can get information and upgrades as your pet grows for different periods of life. You can deal with it. You can have counting problems, association problems, care problems, information flow out. And moreover, you can actually share and represent your pet through basically a pet social media, but a more sophisticated social media, which I see emerging. This is with the more apps. So this is obviously, the rest of the world have said, no, you can't do that, no, you can't do that, no, you can't do that. Well, what happens is, if you say you can, you can just say, look, I'm very sorry. Well, what often happens is that people close their book, leave the room. Oh, that's finished. That's finished with that innovation. They leave you in the room with a whiteboard and a pen and some imagination, and you start saying, well, perhaps you can keep on doing it. That even though they have closed it down, it continues going forward. Education, I can see as a method of rebooting education in a very authentic, non-threatening way. The interesting thing is that your pet is sort of, your pet's a very stable sort of thing. It's not going to suddenly get angry at you if you've mistreated it, or I hope it doesn't. But it's not going to evolve, it's always going to be there for you. It's not got this sophisticated thing that humans do, is where in a group one person will work how it is and evolve forward and actually drag the group. It's great group development. So one person decides, I'm going to be a bit sneaky, and then everyone else works out how to handle that. It's a great learning environment, a group of kids, because you've got a sneaky one who decides he's going to flout the rules, or he or she is going to flout the rules or experiment in such a way, and everyone evolves and learns about it. That's great. Just at your base level of, and you're trying to educate into this, so obviously things are just going to fall apart because this is taking so much interest in it. So I see a lot of benefits for that. I've got a hill that I'm coming up to against. So there's that. Now, there's the sixth level universe, which I think is one of these things which has suddenly got it. I can see how that can be done via virtual reality. That's something asking to be done by virtual reality, Andrew. And we'll talk about that a bit later. Now we come up to this other aspect of it, is this football-shaped molecule which exists in bacteria and performs an incredibly complex but beautiful task of making a sterile Earth livable by converting ammonia, which is just an inert gas, into doable molecules. This is with the nitrates. So in every protein, there's a nitrogen in it. And it has the important role of sticking those, amino acids together to form the beautiful machines that make us up. So this molecule is a very interesting molecule. It's got about 20 atoms in it. It is a crystal, i.e. it's got an ordered structure of iron and sulfur, and inside it, it's got like a lolly with the center in it. It's got a carbon atom. It is the most unusual and counterintuitive molecule yet. Now, it doesn't surprise me that I would come across it from a organic molecule perspective. Having developed my organic molecule analysis toolkit, the names, the bond lengths, the structures, the quantum mechanical angles and wave functions with it, it doesn't surprise me that people with just a small toolkit will try and build it up as an organic molecule and get some nonsensical things happening with it. And so this is very much a message. This is a semiconductor at the center, the semiconductor at the center of life. It is something very akin to the structure of a quantum computer. We're trying to put individual atoms into crystals to actually make them into quantum computers. I doubt very much myself whether that can, well, maybe a solution, but it's going to be an interesting one if it happens. So you've got all of this. This is a very interesting, intense molecule. Now, one of the first things is that, as I say this, so I'm a molecular physicist. Okay, I've got a PhD in molecular physics. And as I say this to people, there is this deafening silence. I think I've, and maybe they're busy. I've emailed my friend John Canning, and he's, you know, a fantastic, probably the best chemistry professor, and most able-minded chemistry professor in Australia. Silent on it. Friend Simon Fleming. This is really interesting. This is a photonic crystal in a bacteria. It's got the hallmarks of a photonic crystal. Not necessarily that photons interact with it as the way that we understand it. However, in terms of quantum mechanical vibrations, there could be a lot in there. Because it's so small. Silence. Then, realizing that the quantum mechanical steps, that there's a silence barrier going across. These are definitely not minus one people. These are true blue champions of innovation. So I have then sent out a quiet email to Morris, I can't pronounce his second name, someone in robotics and computer science in UNSW. I've said, look, I'm trying to push this forward, and I don't need to know how. Can you help me write the paper or communicate with people? Silence. Now, and it's interesting, I'm in this period of extreme silence around an idea, and to the untrained person, I'm not saying I'm fantastic, I'm trained, but someone who hasn't been through it, this silence, because people are really dependent on feedback, this silence can be really off-putting. However, the molecule is there, and it is what it is. It's on Wikipedia, F-E-M-O-C-O. I don't know what the C-O stands for. And it's there. It's something very much to look at. Now look, I could be wrong. Right, but it's like, who was it? Johnny Rotten. I could be wrong. I could be right. But look, I could be wrong. That's not really the issue. The issue is what this is telling me about the network of people. In terms of they're busy, they're distracted by certain things. This is not activating them. Like, I could be completely, completely wrong. It's just a hypothetically. Let's look at this even hypothetically. Would you get back to it? Now, some of my good friends, unfortunately, Professor Ian Ross, would be someone I could definitely turn to and have a good chat to. Unfortunately, he's unfortunately died in the 2000 something or other. But there's very few people to go to, and people have become really sensitized to the fact that you're going through a struggle. They will say, well, they're sort of almost expecting to clear the area for timber. There's this reality knowledge that, the secret state, which it really is, you're up against, will win in the end. And, I'm afraid it's not going to. Well, it might, but, it's not before I've tried every aspect going forward, to see how it can go. Now, one of the things that's got this innate thing about this molecule, there's sort of customary colours for elements. So elements are not these colours. The customary is yellow for sulphur and brown for iron. And this happens to be striped brown and yellow. Now, the issue here is that this happens to be the colours of Hawthorn Football Club. Now, the problem is that for your person in the academic world, making this statement that this molecule A, looks like a football, and it does, and B, that it has the colouring of a particular football club, is just professional toxin. A professional scientist wouldn't say it. However, it's true. This particular molecule, which is a football shape, is made up of what would it be? An iron, three sulfurs, three irons, three sulfurs with the carbon in the center, three irons, three sulfurs, three irons, and then three sulfurs and then an iron, but the iron is a replaceable molybdenum. So very interesting how it all comes together. But there is a carbon atom, but one carbon in the centre, and it's not bound to another carbon atom. It technically really isn't. I'm afraid to tell you, it's not an organic molecule. So carbon is a carbon-carbon bond, and this doesn't have a carbon-carbon bond. It's a long distance from it. So if you like, it's on the cusp of being organic and a semiconductor. It's one of these things. Now, all these statements are inalienably true. It's true that of its role. It's true that it's a semiconductor. It's true it's a photonic quantum dot structure. Unless you draw it up, you'd have to prove it wasn't. That's true. And it's also true that its colours naturally go with the Hawthorn Football Club. And it's also true that it is football-shaped. It's got all these aspects to it. But what are we telling that the people can't relate to it? What does it mean? That's true. Now, it's sort of like, I've forgotten what it is, Karl Popper, the paradigm. But these are sort of microscopic paradigms, is the fear of stepping outside the boundary of common agreement. And unfortunately, I don't have any of those fears because I've just come into it and I've got nothing really to lose. So one of the things I would like to do is, you've got all these areas to push forward and none are going forward. There's possibly a little with the podcasting, a podcast audience of 80 people. Yeah, that's not much, or it could be higher. You don't know. That may be just one piece of technology away, one technological shift, one marketing shift away. We won't know. But it's all these things are stuck. The podcasting, it's hard to say they're stuck, but they're not going to stop working on it. And something may come off it. It seems to me that there is a combination
a combination of players. You can imagine these pieces on a board, and if you can put them in the right orientation, like chess pieces together, we might be able to do it. So perhaps if I can find a group, a school group, you know, bear in mind I have no, even though I'm a school teacher, I have no access to school groups, because if I'm successful as a teacher with school children, that will work against the general narrative that they want to get rid of, and they've got rid of all these teachers. Of course, they've gone off to other schools and are teaching perfectly well. Yeah, but that doesn't matter. It's part of the central strongman narrative. So, I've needed someone to build a model. If I build a model myself, somehow that's not the full narrative. I might be able to look at someone who's at homeschooling and talk them through building it. Then we want to actually give it to a Hawthorne football player, because that will actually step outside the electric zone of it's not what a scientist says or does. Now, for instance, I've been through a lot of this type of stuff. The first optical fiber inventions I had was just putting hot melt glue on an optical fiber and pulling it. And there was disgust, upset, and then realization that there was good science in it. When you're actually looking at this, this policy is driven by a deeper understanding of what it is to be plus one, and what you are doing from plus one is that you are gathering information about the responsiveness of your system and working out how, if there is a solution, there may not be a solution, but as sure as hell, there could easily be one, because sure as hell, the people blocking your paths aren't putting up as much effort and thinking doing it, because it's so easy to block your path. You can just write a document, sneak it in, and Bob's your uncle. Hopefully, you're really banking other people not outmaneuvering you. But it's so easy to block a path. To find a way forward is a much more complicated thing. And with so much at stake, we can actually, hopefully, find a way. The app might go, the fitness might go, the pull forward of, I'm sure, this is what I'm trying to actually secretly do, is memorize things going forward. I remember that I had the, the petrification. That might work. All these ideas which are not specifically disciplinary in terms of, and this is the other thing that makes me lament. There's a faculty of transdisciplinary studies, yet all these transdisciplinary ideas to move forward, which is innovation, wealth generating, it can't happen. Why? Why doesn't this work? Why don't the unions work? What's going on? And what I do think is that inevitably things not working is when you pull it apart, there's minus one working in there somewhere. Somewhere in there there's minus one. And it's one of these things that the minus one way of operating is invasive surgery. And it's almost geared to resist invasive surgery. It's sort of like it knows how it's got there, so it knows how to resist it. But it mightn't be able to resist parallel front, sort of looking at all these different things if we can go out in parallel and move away forward. Now, one of the interesting things is that if you're not paying for anything, if you're doing everything open source, you'll get no help from the big guys in America like Google or anything like that, especially if you're Australian. They really don't want to know you. And there's all these other pitfalls up there. So besides the actual strategic way forward, there's these hidden pitfalls, i.e. that the computers you're operating can suddenly pack up and die.
which should be really unfortunate. I don't know how to recover from that one. There's all these other pitfalls. Now, the bottom line is that I'm in a space where I'm looking for a solution, trying to find a solution, which is what a researcher does. I think the people lined up against me have found the solution, know what to do, and are just plugging away with the documents and various things not happening, not supporting, i.e. I was supposed to be able to go back to work for graded work. Everyone in Australia is allowed to do that except for me, because in this case the school had operational needs which couldn't accommodate me going back to work. Now, that's where it's at. So it's a tough line, but I may not get there, but at least I will have podcast my way all the way through. I'll be able to sit back as I'm fired, in jail, incarcerated, buried. I'll be able to listen to these podcasts. No, I won't. I'll be too, and you should be too busy as well, working way forward. So this is a podcast. Basically, I'm heading not far from home, just going up another hill, so you probably can hear me breathing. But we should be able to do this, Andrew. And this is a podcast for Andrew and possibly Kathy, as we work our way through and trying to think things out. And it's a long podcast because it's the length of a particular walk that I'm doing, cardiac walk. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.